KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes making sense of the madness.
Needless to say, the last, you don't even know what time frame we're working in anymore. Could you say the last couple of days, last couple of weeks, last couple of months, or the last couple of years, we've seen more and more instances of police officers, sometimes individuals, sometimes in a group, behaving in a questionable manner. That's me being kind, okay? Because in some cases, it's been deemed police officers were appropriate. In others, it has been deemed or is still being adjudicated as to whether or not they acted inappropriately. We've seen it go both ways, okay? Mm-hmm. But there's a bigger question around it. And it is there a problem inside the police forces in general? Is there a problem with training, recruiting, the type of person drawn to this that is leading to more and more violent behavior?
Right. And so joining us right now to discuss this relationship is Dr. Patrick Wainis. And doctor, you were talking a little bit about why some police officers lose control and make these questionable behaviors. Talk to us a little bit about your study.
Well, I think what you've raised are very interesting points, because you have to look at the total statistics and, you know, look at, well, how many arrests are made every day mm-hmm. versus how many actual incidents do we have where it's blatantly obvious that the police have either engaged in excessive force, brutality, punchings, beatings, and even in the case of killing. Now we need to say, you know, is it just a case of technology? Are we simply more aware of it because we have technology and uh-huh. so someone can record it?
Right.
Or are there more incidents of it?
Sure.
Well, it's obvious that there are a lot of incidents, and even if there's a handful, we could still argue, look, it's too many. What can we do to prevent this? And we need to look at it from a couple of angles, and I wanted to sort of run this by you first to
okay.
say, let's consider, what are the reasons that police even enter, that someone enters the police force?
Why would somebody want to become an officer?
Exactly. So you look at things such as, it's a family tradition. My mm-hmm. father was a policeman.
You're
my
a lot
mother
of
was in the force. Yeah. Second is, I want a job.
Okay. Yep.
And it's a job that offers a certain amount of security.
Sure.
Third, I want to serve and protect the community.
Make a difference. Okay.
Number four, this is an interesting one. The desire to compensate or make up for injustices that maybe I witnessed or that I saw growing up or that was done to my family, or I was abused myself.
Really?
I was, you know, I'm giving these as examples.
No, no, I hear exactly what you're saying,
right.
and that you want to right these wrongs. You want to right the wrongs in society because you've seen it firsthand.
Correct. Then you have the other side, which is, I have a subconscious drive for power. I want power over others. And that might be because I never had power over anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I'm on the verge of a criminal personality, or I still have other sociopathic tendencies, and therefore this job gives me the opportunity to actually satisfy those needs. I'm going to give you sort of a weird analogy or example. In the movie Jack Reacher, Tom Cruise is talking about that very thing when he's talking about someone that was a sniper, and he says, well, there are about three or four types of people that enter the service and potentially want to become a sniper. You know, one is family tradition, second is a job, someone that wants to, you know, as a patriot, wants to serve their country. And then he presents the fourth dangerous one.
Yeah.
He says, a legal way of killing.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying this is applicable to everyone in the force, but you're always going to have a certain amount of people entering the force for the wrong reasons. And this is where we get to, why are we seeing these problems within the police force, within the law enforcement field?
We're talking to a human behavior and relationship expert, Dr. Wainis, Patrick Wainis. And Dr. Wainis, only for the sake of time and understanding what I'm up against, so understanding that people are drawn for different reasons, what should police forces and what should the community expect we can do moving forward?
All right, so let me be brief. Number one, we need to change the way that we screen the police in the sense of, there are certain procedures that say we don't want these people included, we want them excluded, but we have to place more emphasis on the actual profile of the kind of person we want included. The second one, which is really important, is what we call a tainted working personality.
Hmm.
That means once the police officer becomes an officer and every day he witnesses extraordinary misery,
horrible
abuse,
things, yeah.
rape, murders, he starts to change. He starts to become cynical. He becomes more resistant.
Mm-hmm.
He becomes He becomes more prejudicial and isolated. The third, and this is probably the most important, is stress.
We know there's a lot of that in police forces, right?
Extraordinary. And there was a study done a couple of years ago, 2012, an unprecedented study, 464 police officers over a period of 5 years. And what was basically found was that the stress changes the person from a neurological aspect. It shrinks cells in the prefrontal cortex that can lead to impulse control. It's the same thing that we all experience. They experience it on an extreme level.
So you're talking about a physical change that actually happens, not just an emotional change.
Correct. It's neurological. And then the other one to also consider is, well, you know, what do police actually experience that changes them so much? And that is within the culture, they're encouraged not to ask for help. They're taught to be superhuman.
Yep, yep. Tough
and
guy.
I know you're out of time. So finally, this is a really important one. It affects everyone that's in a position of power. It can be a politician, a CEO, a priest, an executive, or a policeman. Power tends to corrupt. In 1887, Lord Acton said, power tends to corrupt, absolute power corrupts.
Absolutely.
That means a person, if it goes unchecked, if I'm not going through constant training to monitor my behavior and notice how I'm changing, notice how I'm responding to temptation, then I can become corrupted. And then we see the incidents of police officers who pull over someone for some traffic violation, and then they let the person off for some bribe, and it could be a sex bribe.
Right. Dr. Juanes, I really appreciate you spending some time with us. I think there is some interesting things to think about there. That, again, that is human behavior and relationship expert Dr. Patrick Juanes about. And I don't think it's hard to understand. It's not hard to believe. We hear about this in the military, right? Think about the cases of PTSD, when you're exposed, prolonged exposure to combat, the stress, how it changes you. And we hear it in soldiers, and we're sympathetic, and we want to give them treatment. We don't talk about that in police officers, and why would we assume that it would not affect police officers?
Good point.
Why would you think they're magically immune to it? I would argue they're probably not.
And some of them are subjected to it for much longer periods of time than some of the soldiers.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Good point.
There might be something behind all of this behavior and something that we could be doing about. Interesting.